Welcome to Side Hustle City, and thanks for joining us. Our goal is to help you connect to real people who found success turning their side hustle into a main hustle, and we hope you can too. I'm Adam Kaler. I'm joined by Kyle Stevie, my co-host. Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody. We have a special guest with you today, and always we've got Kyle Stevie, my trusty co-host, is here.
Hello.
So we've got Steve Mastriani.
There you go.
Mastriani. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So you wrote a cool book on hobbies and how to turn those hobbies into like money makers, right? Kind of a side hustle, hobby into side hustle. And we always on the show, obviously everybody knows, you know, we talk about how to turn your side hustle into your main hustle. And Steve's here to tell us a little bit about the hobby thing. And we had a hobby. Remember, we had the hobby guy on here. Was he the soccer guy, right?
Yes.
He
sold gloves. He had a licensing agreement with the English company that did the goalie gloves.
Yeah. So we had a guy on, and we were trying to mix things up a little bit because everybody comes on here and we mostly talk about real estate and, you know, how people turn their, you know, a 4-unit apartment complex into now they own 1,500 units or whatever, right? So we have a lot of those people. We don't have a lot of people that come on here and talk about, you know, something that they just like to do. Not necessarily, they didn't go into it for the money. They went into it because it was like, hey, this is something I like.
Oh, and your wife's going to be pissed.
How do I make money?
Your wife's going to be pissed. You had your wife and sister-in-law on here for this exact topic about the candles.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They were doing candles, and they're still kind of doing it. But, yeah, maybe they need to read your book, Steve.
Love it. Love it. And by the way, we were just talking about gloves, and Adam, I was going to say goalie gloves. Like, if you have goalie gloves on, then 20 minutes later, your hands are probably going to smell bad. Or maybe not 20 minutes later, but maybe 2 hours later. It's so ironic that you just said that someone came on who sells goalie gloves. I love it.
Are you a soccer guy?
Well, a little bit. I mean, being Italian, yeah. Like, it's kind of like in my blood.
Are your parents, did your parents grow up here, or did they grow up in Italy and bring that over, or?
They were born, my mom was born in Canada and my dad was born in Argentina. But that's only because my grandparents from Italy were in Argentina for a bit, but yeah, it's probably from my grandparents. Yeah.
A lot of people don't know this, but there's a heavy, like Argentina, I think it's a majority Italian, isn't it?
So yeah,
that's right. Yeah. We're going to diverge big time here because when I was learning Spanish and I lived in Mexico, when I was watching TV, the best accent out of all of them was the Argentinian accent because it's an Italian Spanish accent. So, Italian accent in Spanish. It's pretty cool.
Oh, I've been considering Buenos Aires. Like, we've been talking about it because it's just, you can get so much for your money down there. But it's such a long trip. Like, to get all the way down there, it's just like, I mean, you probably want to stop in like Colombia, something like that, just bounce, like stay there for a little while and then work your way down, maybe go to Brazil and then work your way down to Buenos Aires. But beautiful country, great people, tango. Did your dad teach you the tango?
Yeah. No, he didn't teach me the tango.
How could he not teach you the tango?
Yeah. No.
Oh, that's like the thing, right? Steak and tango, right? That's Argentina
there. Sometimes it takes two to do that, though.
That's right.
Sometimes.
So where do you live at now?
So I'm in Toronto, Canada, and nice. That's where I've been. That's really born and raised here. Yeah, traveling the world, but this is home base. Yeah.
Oh, awesome! So tell us about Hobby Boss. Like, what's your story? Like, what brought you to write a book about turning your hobby into your job?
Yeah, for sure. It's So the short version of the story is my background is in music. So I was a professional guitar player, basically major label recording artist, touring the world. Gene Simmons came up to Canada and wanted to sign a band, and my band was the band that he signed. And
what?
So we toured with Kiss for 34 dates all over North America, and just crazy hijinks. And we actually went down to Mexico, 4 dates. And in Mexico, oh my God, Kiss fans are just crazy, like hardcore over there. We're getting like pesos thrown at us just for being the opener. And I'm like, you know, I was a poor musician. So like, I'm like,
yeah, I'll take your pesos. Yeah, I don't care what
I need 11 more of those because I need to make a dollar.
I don't care what the exchange rate is. I'll take them.
Yeah, I bought breakfast the next morning. But yeah, no, anyway, so that was all great. And, you know, I was touring for a long time. And, but in the middle of that, actually speaking of my father, in 2013, you know, I get this phone call from him saying that he was just diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer, total record scratch. And in that moment, I knew that I had to like press pause on the music career and take care of him. Just with like, I knew my family dynamic. I knew that I was like pretty much the only one who would be like poised to do that. And also he was always my biggest supporter. So it was sort of like, I just felt like I needed to do that anyway. I didn't know how, like, the extent of it. I didn't know how long that would be for, but I knew that that was what I needed to do. And so anyway, while I was taking care of him, you know, hospital visits and all the different things, going from city to city to now being in like one place, I was kind of going a bit crazy. And I needed something to not only distract myself from, you know, my father's condition, but also, you know, be creative and also pay my rent. And so what I did was I took my existing skills as being a guitar player and also was a coach, you know, for many years on and off tour, helping people play. And so I knew that I wanted to learn how to do online business, but I used guitar for that. So I wanted to learn all about how to sell things online. And the natural thing to do was to basically take my guitar skills and teach online. And that's how the whole thing started back in 2014. It's how the whole thing started.
Wow. Okay. Man, I'm really curious about this. I know you just went through all this, but the Kiss thing is just blowing my mind right now. This is awesome. So my dad, I'm pretty sure my dad probably sold drugs to Kiss at some point or whatever, but because he was like he was almost a roadie. He was 16 and Alice Cooper asked him to go on the road with him. And he used to just pretend to be a roadie at Riverfront Coliseum in Cincinnati when all these big bands, I mean, he did acid with Jimi Hendrix, with Janis Joplin, who are both dead now, by the way, but somehow he's still alive after 4,000 hits of acid. I don't know how this works, but he was just 16 years old. He ran away from home and every time a truck would pull up at the back, he'd just get on there and start pulling things off of the, and they would think he was a roadie. And
fake it till you make it. I love it.
Yeah. Then he would sneak his way backstage and with a bag of drugs and groupies, and bands would love him. And that's what he did. That was his side hustle when he was a kid. But Alice Cooper tried to get him to go on a tour with him when he was 16, and my grandma wasn't allowing it. So he never did it. But cool stories. You know, there's always, I'm sure you got a million stories, and I'm not going to. We're going to talk about your book. We're not going to get into the cool, awesome life you've lived up to this point. But so that's awesome. So, yeah. So it almost was like a tragedy in your family, a tough time, which, you know, we talk about all the time on the show. Sometimes people collapse, right? And you know, it could lead to you just giving up. You could feel sorry for yourself. You could feel sorry for the situation. You could be angry. But instead, you turned this in. You said, what do I have? What skills do I have? How do I turn this around? And how do I make money at this?
Are you tired of feeling lost in the world of trading and investing? Get informed and inspired with the Talking Trading Podcast. I'm Louise Bedford, and I'll help you navigate the markets like a pro. Tune in each week and subscribe now at talkingtrading.com.au or on your favourite podcast app, or check out the link in the show notes. Talking Trading, this is how traders excel.
And you know, you're absolutely right. Some people just fold, maybe it was just my background in like being in the music industry, just like the thick skin that you need that you develop from being in the music industry. But truthfully, what it comes down to is, especially like these days when we're talking about, especially when COVID first hit, and you just know that the world is gonna be different. A lot of people they lost their jobs, and there was a similar choice that they had at that particular, or they're in a position at that particular point that I was in 2013, where it's like, okay, well, this is a bad situation, and I could either like, I, there's no way I could find it, like find a job that would support a schedule that was completely unpredictable. There's just no way. And so I had to take things into my own hands. And so this is what I tell a lot of people, because of this, the climate, the global climate right now, is you could either train and do something that is completely outside of yourself, or trying to find something in the same industry that you're currently in. But you might also like get a job and then lose it if you've lost your job. If you just look at the things you're already into and already good at, or maybe even just passionate about, if you just look at those things, you could monetize those things online, mm-hmm. because there are other people, especially when we're talking about coaching and teaching, it's like, there are other people who want to learn that hobby. And so you just basically do what I did, which is you take your existing hobby, you teach it to other people online, instantly your reach opens up, and now you have income that comes in either immediately, like from trading time for money, let's say coaching one-on-one, or passively while you're sleeping, online courses or books or whatever it might be that you create will sell. And that's just a concept that's very foreign for a lot of people. They just never done that. If they've never, if they've always had a job, or if they've always had to rely on someone else for their income. So, you know, the whole thing about being a hobby boss is to take your hobby and, you know, turn your passion into profits online where you're in control of that, which is so important this day and age.
So you're basically teaching people how to become a subject matter expert. People that don't believe that they can become subject matter experts, you are kind of guiding them through it. So they're taking, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, please stop me whenever, but you're taking them and saying, hey, this is your hobby, this is your passion, this is what you're really good about. Guess what? You're not the only person in the world that likes this. In fact, you may know more than a lot of people do, and they want to listen to you. You got to have a little bit more confidence in yourself and just and put it out there and see what happens. And you're teaching them how to do that. Am I right?
For sure. Well, yeah. And what's great about it is that there's different positions. So I call it positioning, it's called positioning, but the concept is basically you could either be an expert. So for example, I'd be like more advanced when it comes to teaching guitar. I've done it for years and people would look at me as like maybe an expert, even though maybe I don't consider myself an expert, I would be more in the expert category. Whereas some people might be intimidated by that. Like, for example, let's just say I love, like you're talking about Muay Thai, like let's just say you're into that, but you're not an expert, but you're passionate about it. You can also take a peer position where you're like on the journey with your customer and you're still learning. You're still learning just like they are, but you're maybe three or four steps ahead of them. Mm-hmm. And you're also super passionate where you gather resources for them. And that's valuable. They'll pay for that. Instead of them spending all the time finding the right videos or finding the resources, you connect them with that. And all of a sudden you're not an expert. You're passionate about it. And all of a sudden now you have a business. So you don't even have to be an expert, and you don't even have to be the face of it. You could also just know somebody who and bring people in who you interview. There's so many different ways to do it, but the key is that if you're into something, there's most likely thousands of people who are also into that same thing.
This fits in perfectly to what I'm doing with my book, because I don't consider myself a subject matter expert, but I really don't feel like there are that many out there, because it's just a small sliver. It's infancy. It's an embryo right now. It's not even,
yeah. So Kyle's working on a book about tokenization in cryptocurrency. Like, we're big into cryptocurrency, cool. And tokenizing assets. So I mean, that even plays into music, right?
Yeah.
Because I mean, how awful are ASCAP and BMI, right? And they just sitting on people's royalty checks and making interest on them, and they're never going to pay those out because they can't find the guy who played violin on this song back in the 50s or whatever, you know. Yeah. And they're just making money on that stuff. So do you know, having a blockchain record of who owns what, who played what, how, you know, what percentage of the song they get paid off of, and all that other stuff. Having a blockchain record that's immutable, that can't be changed, is valuable in the record industry. And it's coming. I've heard five or six people with ideas around that, around rights management on the blockchain.
I love that. As a songwriter, I mean, you see, like, I've got definitely, like, I know ASCAP and BMI, like, I'm a songwriter myself and I get paid royalties, and that's 100%. I've never heard that idea before, but I think that that's brilliant to have a record like that. That's amazing.
There's people out there trying to do it, but as you know, BMI and ASCAP are you know, heavyweights.
Well, even now though, you can transfer into NFTs with your music.
Yeah, true. You can go directly into an NFT. Yeah. And people can own, well, an NFT is the one, like, one thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you would have ownership of it, but then distributing your music can't be an NFT because it's only one non-fungible right. token for like one thing. But yeah, I mean, for artwork, it makes a whole lot of sense. Like physical, like actual artwork that you're going to digitize, but music, being able to distribute that music and know who downloaded it and getting paid off of it, and maybe even potentially going around, you know, not having to go to a music producer or whatever.
I love what it's alluding to. Like, because even though I don't specifically talk about that in the book, I love that message that what basically the essence of what you guys are talking about is that there are so many different ways to bring in money. There's so many different revenue streams. Like, I love what you're talking about. Even like, I can't remember what it's called, but I know it's in the crypto space, but basically you can invest in people. Like, it's like, you basically, like, I could have my music career or whatever it might be.
Oh, the brand. They can invest in your brand. Yeah,
they invest
totally.
In the brand. Yeah. Yeah, yep. For sure.
That's
and
true.
That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah. I think that's very valuable. And you've got people who are really excited about you and your talent. And if they want to crowdfund that excitement somehow and help your career out. I mean, think about the deals people take in music that they really don't want to have to take, but they're living out of a van. You know?
Yeah, they feel like that gatekeeper. They're trying to get, like, they're leveraging someone else's network. And you know, record labels, they definitely, there are pros and cons. There's some good things for sure. They could get the ball rolling when things are they can push the ball further when you get it rolling. But yeah, I mean, really when it comes down to it, what's interesting, actually, this is interesting because I've got I co-wrote three gold records, one went platinum, and this is actually one of the things that got me back into the online space with coaching. Is I still do everything with that I've always done, which is songwriting. And also I do coaching, but even if you have a hit song, royalties don't pay out for about 9 months. So even with the biggest song, you still don't get paid until 9 months later. And I had my newborn daughter at the time in 2018, where it's like, okay, great. Like, you know, this song is on the radio. It's awesome, but I'm not going to be able to feed my daughter until like 9 months later. So I have to go back to my online business. I put together an offer, and within hours, money starts coming in. It's really, truthfully, like, we talk about crypto and we talk about all these different investments. Having an online business where you can create something, a digital product, let's say that you can sell to someone in Fiji, they could buy it right now and you get that money instantly.
Yep.
And you also can have a recurring membership where you charge $30 a month or $200 a month. And you know that you go into next month with $10,000 or even $500. For some people, they say $500 extra per month could be life changing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So when we're this is what, because at the beginning of the episode, you're saying that, we could have a side hustle or a main hustle. And that's really what this comes down to. I mean, especially in my book, I talk about this. You could make it whatever you want. If you want to just have a supplementary income because you have a full-time job that you like, but you just also really love, you know, arts and crafts. So you want to monetize that. Great. You get maybe an extra $500. You're happy. But for someone who maybe they want to exit their job, they hate their job and they want to start something that's based on whatever it might be. Let's just say if it's painting, oil painting, then you have both at first, and then you start coaching people and you start building up your audience and start building up your assets where you're selling courses and programs. And then all of a sudden now you're making more or the same as you're making your job. And if you quit your job, then you'll have more time to devote to your art business. And then now your art business is making more than you were making in your job, but now you're doing what you love. So now it doesn't feel like work. It almost feels like cheating in a way because you're doing something that you love. So it's all about being a hobby boss. It's all about doing something that fits you. Like I make my own rules. I don't do things like, there are a lot of guitar guys out there. And you might say that the world doesn't need another guitar coach, but the way that I do it, my history, my stories, how I make people feel, you know, the way, the angle that I come at it, the fact that I'm Italian or that I toured with Kiss, all these things make my stuff unique and everybody has that uniqueness. So you play by your own rules. I came up with an idea earlier this morning. I send out an offer. I could start making money based on that. I don't have to ask anybody. It's great. You know, and that's
you become
this
an influencer in the space and you've got a niche. Yep. And people that you're always going to have an audience. Like, I mean, if you're interested in it, I think what you're saying here, if you're interested in it, there's going to be other people interested in it.
Totally.
I mean, your story's awesome. In fact, you got a platinum record. I mean, you,
wait, what song, two was, gold records. What songs were those?
So there's a song. So this one over here is called, ironically, it's called Bad Habits. What's funny is in my guitar business, I always, like, I would consider myself not a guitar expert, but a habits expert. Like, I can help people create any habit. Like, that's like what I boast, but it's funny and it's ironic that the biggest song that I was part of writing, I co-wrote, is called Bad Habits. But that one's pretty cool. There's actually, so Bad Habits, another one called Tokyo Nights, and there's another one called Addicted. And so those songs, they're more in like the pop realm, whereas my band that got signed by Gene Simmons was in the rock realm. And we had some songs on the radio too, but these songs were like bigger radio hits. And it's just kind of ironic that it's called Bad Habits.
That is funny. Yeah. And so what's the other book back there? You got another one?
The first book is called Practice Less, Play More. So that's my guitar book that I wrote back in 2019. And that's when things really started taking off. I'm not saying that you have to write a book for things to take off, but for me, like, it's funny, when I was 8 years old, I remember, like, after I wrote the book, I'm like, oh yeah, when I was 8 years old, that's what I said I wanted to be. I wanted to be an author. I ended up being a songwriter, which is similar.
Yeah.
But then I circled back around and I was an author, and writing my book, Practice Less, Play More, that was my first experience writing a book. And I wrote it in 5 days. Like, it was like all this buildup of coaching and all these different experiences all kind of just came together. And I blasted out the book, and it was a really cool experience. But it came, by the way, it came out right after rock bottom. Like, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to be doing with my life. I have a daughter who I need to feed, and there's all these things that I can do. And this is back to the point of, you have to look at what is important to you. I was always looking at, like, should I do this thing like this person or that or that or that? And I just looked at, what do I actually want to do? And for me, I wanted to, writing a book made the most sense to me, and it energized me. So that's where I was like, it was during the Christmas break. I don't even know how I did it, but I was just like energized, and I was almost like in a trance, and I was just writing, writing, writing. Next thing I know, I have a book. And that book doubled my business in 2019, and then doubled it again in 2020 during, like, you know, the craziest economic time that we can probably remember in recent history.
Well, it's kind of like the perfect time, right? Because you're there, people are at home doing, what am I going to do? I'm by myself. Well, learn how to play guitar. That exactly. takes away a lot of emotional angst and a bunch of different.
Exactly. And you're absolutely right there's another lesson in that, that because I started before the pandemic hit, and because I got things going online before that, not like to a crazy extent, but because I got things going before, I was prepared to handle a chaotic situation. We don't know what's going to happen from here. We don't know what's going to happen, you know, years from now, but taking something into your own hands and starting something, putting things, assets online that can sell now, will at least set you up to where, whether it's some extra cash, like $500 a month, or whether it's a full-time income, you're more set up than if you're relying on somebody else for your income. If you're relying on a boss to pay you, if that company goes down for whatever reason, you know, you're in control now. And I could work, you know, I had twins in 2020 in February. Before, we were locked down before COVID hit. Like, we were just shut down because our twins, like, took all of our time. And, but, you know, those kids are trying to destroy me, I'm convinced. Cause, like, I'm on my laptop. Like, I wrote Hobby Boss.
They need a hobby.
They need a hobby. Exactly. But, like, I wrote Hobby Boss, most of it, on my iPhone with my thumb while I'm like holding my son.
No way.
I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that because you have to, like, so much chaos is getting thrown at all of us. Like, I'm just using me as an example, cause, you know, I'm talking about my story and how this book came to be, but everybody's life is so chaotic in its own way. And there's so many ways to make things happen. Like you said before, you either get a chaotic situation and, like, you fold, or you think, how do I win this game? How do I create a game that I'm guaranteed to win? And so with Hobby Boss, in the writing of it, I was writing it on my iPhone with my thumb, with my son basically sleeping and, like, stirring, and, like, he was, like, had acid reflux, and, like, it was a stressful situation to make it happen. But I knew that it was important work, and I wanted to get it done. But then even on the launch of the book, so April 27th, which was the anniversary of my father's passing, I wanted to, like, commemorate that day with something that was, like, you know, something that's tragic, flip it to something that, you know, is inspiring. And leading up to that day, in April, my wife was hospitalized because she got some weird virus. It wasn't COVID, but she got some weird virus that I was basically at home taking care of my three kids with my mother-in-law. And I had to release this book and run my business and raise my kids, feed my kids. Wow. And so I had to, like, basically have my laptop like this while they're, like, trying to get my attention and, like, run my business. how am I supposed to get a job? If like, how would I have a job and how would I like call in sick 20 times that I would have needed to, if that's the case? This was, so what ended up happening was very ironic because it was something that I wanted to like make as a tribute to my father on April 27th, release this book. In April, I had to step up as a father myself. And I was so grateful that I had my hobby business to do that because there's no other thing that I could have had that would be as reliable and give me the return on investment as something like an online business. You know what I mean?
Yeah, your book writing experience is much more rewarding though when you look in the long run than like when I think about writing a book. I want to do it like Stephen King or F. Scott Fitzgerald.
That's what I did. I got a my book's fiction and it's not selling anything.
Well, I want to get really messed. I want to get really messed up for 5 days in a cottage somewhere, and just trip balls and just
that's
like,
a dream.
And write them. And he's got to take. I mean, I don't know if anybody listening here has ever had twins. I wasn't around when my wife had hers, but her stories are just like it's 24 hours. So to be able to write a book, launch a book, your wife's in the hospital. Like so that I've been there with my wife's been in the hospital and I've had kids, but they were, I mean, Charlotte was 3 and the boys were 12. So it was a little bit different, but it's stressful. Mm. I can't imagine what your April was like trying to get everything down to, cause you're obviously goal driven. So I'm sure that date was just eating inside of you. Like I have to have this done. I want to commemorate my dad. I have to have this done.
You know what, Adam? Like, what's interesting is, so I kind of jokingly call it cortisol cash secrets. Like, basically, like I'm gonna like write a book called Cortisol Cash Secrets because for some reason, stress, pressure creates diamonds, right? And like somehow in April, that was the highest revenue month that of the year. Somehow, like it's like the, and this is for parents. Parents will understand this. You know, when you have to get something done, like when you have kids, like the switch flips, like you have to figure it out, you know? And what I love about online business is there's so many different solutions to the problem. Like if you have something that people want, and I talk about this in the book, about how to be productive and all the different, secrets of, you know, getting stuff done. A lot of it has to do with, you know, dropping the inner perfectionist and getting something done, iterate later, like you can like polish it later, but it's about just finding the way that, that works for you, like, or finding something that works for you and trying it, putting it out there and then letting your customer decide. They vote with their credit card, you know, they vote with their credit card if they want that or not. And then if they do, then it's like, okay, perfect. Now I can start polishing this and let me find more people like this person. And I talk about it all in the book. Like I guide you step by step through it in the book, but it's what's possible these days that wouldn't have been possible maybe even 5 years ago. There's just no way that I would have been able to experience April. No way that you'd be able to experience a stressful situation without something like this, where like I love coaching. So part of it was that if I had to stay up late, well, because I love it, it gives me that boost of energy. And because I have these productivity secrets, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to work in this way, this way, this way to get the thing done. And all of those ingredients went into making the book have a successful launch. Like it's because of the thing that I'm doing. That's the arena that I'm in that makes it possible to even do the thing itself. If that makes any sense.
Oh yeah.
It's like, if I was doing anything else, like if I was investing in crypto, let's say, then sure, I might get a return on that, but it's out of my control. With this one, I can control, you know, sending a message to 50 people, you know, on Facebook, and even manually selling them my new course. You know what I mean? Find someone who's into what you're doing, and a percentage of them are going to buy. So if I need to get like $300, then I'm going to deliver value to them, and they deliver value to me in the form of cash. So it's like, you know, I help them achieve their ideal outcome. They help me with feeding my kids. This is the exchange, right? And you always want to make it so that what you're giving them feels like it's way more valuable than the money they have in their pocket. That's one of the tricks, is you want to deliver massive value. That's like the evil scheme, is really help them and then they're going to help you.
Well, you get paid based on the value you provide. And totally. I think that's one thing. You've got a lot of people that just have this negative viewpoint nowadays about just capitalism in general. And everybody, you know, and I grew up poor, and you know, now we sold a business and things like that. And it's just like, I talked to these kids at this school the other day at my high school just to say, hey, look, you know, it's a majority of the kids at the school are, you know, they grew up in poverty, like 63% of the schools in poverty. And I go down there just to explain to them, like, hey, I was in the situation you were in. This happened, that happened. And it, you could see it in their face where it's like they still don't believe it's possible for them, right? I got lucky, or, you know, they even gave me that question. They said, well, do you ever think maybe you just got lucky? And I'm like, well, I had the skills that my co-founders needed, and I went to college for something that got me into the job where I was able to meet them. So no, you know, I was in the right place at the right time, potentially with the right set of skills. But if I would have never built myself up to the point where I was a value to other people, then I would have never been part of that business. Right.
Yeah, exactly. They say that luck is, opportunity meeting preparation, right? Like, or preparation meeting opportunity. So yeah, you're absolutely right. And you can't blame them for that's their reality. Right. So like, of course that's what they're going to be thinking, because that's all they know. But yeah, man, I was like, chomping on TV dinners. Like, when my parents split up, like, we didn't have money. Like, I was chomping on TV dinners every night. And like, everyone in my family knows, or they just know, like, having a job and all that. Like, all of a sudden I come around like this musician that like wants to try turning my guitar playing into cash. And yeah, like, everything, you know how it is, every single step, like, you're figuring it out as you're going.
Yeah.
But it's that,
There's no plan. Like, there's no plan. And if you grow up in an environment where everybody else has just got that 9-to-5 mindset, or they're poor, they can't help you. Nobody around you can help you. No. You know, you just got to do it. You know what you remind me of is the guys who play in the NFL realize, hey, this is not necessarily like a long-term job for me. I'm not going to get a gold watch and retire after 30 years in the NFL, right? I mean, you know, Tom Brady, you know, those guys, that's a rarity, right? Most people are 3 years, but the smart ones take their money and they start businesses. They invest, they do things. They start personal training camps or whatever, you know, and they're doing a lot of what you're doing. And I don't think, my wife is actually, she was new band members and things like that. She was in truck stop coffee, some band, and she played like violin in it for a little while. But a lot of these people that she knew, that they're still trying to play, you know, they're still trying to get a deal and they don't have anything else going on.
I hope that Truck Stop Coffee has merch that is Truck Stop Coffee. Like, I hope that they are monetizing their name.
It's a badass name. Yeah. It's freaking awesome. Right. But you know, she knows guys that, you know, they never really got a job. There was a guy that she knew that, hey, he was a trust fund kid. He's actually related to a former president, and he had $1 million or whatever, and he blew through it. And then he started using her money, like, you know,
well, it's always
to keep his career going. But there's not that many people out there, I think, that think like you, right?
Yeah, it's usually that left or right brain, where a lot of artist types, they will, like, you get similar sort of characteristics where it's like, for example, they only want to do, they want to do the music, let's say, or they want to do the art. But then they feel guilty for charging for it for some reason, but then they're eating ramen noodles, but then they kind of love the grind. And then like, but they're also like sleeping on someone's couch, or like mooching off of someone else, or blowing through a trust fund, or whatever the thing is. They never gain the ability to understand. They don't gain the understanding of how to make money. How does money actually happen? And like what you said, you have to be of massive value to somebody else. And it's like Zig Ziglar says, like, help someone else get what they want and you're going to get what you want. Right. And so basically, like, that skill set, as a musician, it's funny because like, I'm more of an entrepreneur that has a specialty in music rather than like a musician. Like, I don't consider myself like, you know, a typical type of guitar player in that sense. It's more like left and right brain, where you're thinking from both angles. And I'm very grateful. Like, my guitar being on my back has been like through every single milestone that I've hit. Everything is like, I could attribute to the guitar, and I love that. But you know, ever since the beginning, the reason why I picked up a guitar in the first place was because I reverse engineered my goal. I, like, for some reason at like 11 years old, I knew that, okay, I wanted to tour. I wanted to travel the world. How am I going to do that? Okay. Well, it would be fun to like tour in a band, like, or let's tour the world with a band. And then, okay, well, cool. If I'm going to do that, I've got to put together a band. Well, if I got to do that, like, I'm going to have to, I was playing drums at the time. So it's like, I'm going to have to like learn how to write songs, and but I can't write songs on drums, so I'm gonna write songs on guitar. Cool, let me pick up a guitar. This was like the train of thought. Mm. And very often it's like, if you wanna get a different result, you have to think differently about the problem, right? Like if you're not getting the result that you want, then you have to like rethink it. So the reverse engineering strategy of like, what do I want? This is your ideal outcome. What do I want? And then how do I get it? And you just keep going back to whether it's like a monthly goal or a daily goal. And you just build that up. And that's what I ended up doing. But also, I'm not the only one. Like, I also help other people do this. I coach people. Helped somebody quit their job. He made more money in his business in 1 month than he did like in a full year of trying to do it online. Like he had the seeds of it going. But I said, like, hey, man, like, let's get you to quit your job. Like, you know, how great would it be if you're working on this? He does pro audio and he just, yeah, it was like the greatest feeling in the world to say to his boss, like, all right, thank you so much for the opportunity, but I'm out, you know, I'm out. This is, I'm going to pursue my thing. And now he's doing his thing full time and he loves it. And so to be able to do that, to have that ability to, and that understanding to be able to reverse engineer things, build up things bit by bit, like nothing's going to come easy. Like everything's going to take work. Everybody knows that. It's not like a get rich quick type thing, but when you're doing what you love, it's like, you know, you won't work a day in your life. It's the saying, it exists for a reason. When you're doing what you love, this is not going to feel like work. It's going to empower you. And also then you get paid for it. And the profit potential is crazy because very often, you know, like you'll wake up and there's sales you'll see on your phone, like PayPal and like the credit card payments that go through. And you'll see that. And you might not, you, by the time you even eat breakfast, you'll have possibly more money than you made the previous week of working a job. Fact. It's like the potential is crazy. It's really, I think out of anything I've seen, and I've invested in different things, and it's the highest ROI I've ever seen is having a coaching business online. And then just the icing on the cake is that you have, it's based on your hobby. It's really an amazing thing.
So my wife went through something similar. She was, when I met her, she was working in the back of a spa, a hair salon. She was the spa person in the hair salon, right? And she was pre-med in college. She graduated with a biology degree. She knew skincare like nobody's business. And here she is with 900 clients. Like, she grew the book of this business. And, you know, all these people are cool with her. I'm like, why are you working here making $30,000 a year? Start your own thing. You got 900 freaking clients. What are you doing?
Crazy, dude.
So now she's, you know, her business, I think, grosses a little over 250 a year, great, right? And she's got another girl that's working for her now. And, you know, I tried to tell the kids, like, at the thing the other day, you know, time is the most valuable asset.
Yeah.
The longer it takes for people to come to the realization that they need to do something on their own, every day you're not starting your own business is another day you're missing out on how quickly you can free yourself from this 9-to-5 thing that you've got going on. But, you know, she goes from making 30 grand to now she's got a business worth two, you know, that's producing $250,000 a year. I mean, you multiply that, say there's another spa or somebody wants to come in and buy it, she could potentially sell that business for $1 million, right?
Totally. And also maybe she's happy. Like, there's another factor too. Like, there's two things you just mentioned. Number one, it's totally cool if someone wants a 9-to-5. Even like, so, because some people, like, they got a great job and they're happy and that's cool. They like the stability. But also, just in case, if it's not 100% stable, because nothing's 100% stable, then you just have something that's your own, just like, just in case. And then, like, you're working on that. It's even an escape. It's an escape from like what you do. It's like something that you're developing. Maybe you even do it with a friend and like you get things going. And then if anything goes south with your job, okay, well, now you have something that it's like any investment, right? That's like one thing. The 9-to-5, some people, they're happy with 9-to-5. Not every 9-to-5 is like a bad thing. I mean, 9-to-5 for me, that would be a nightmare. But it's like, for some people, they love that. But then also, I love what you said about your wife, like $250,000 business, that maybe that's like, maybe she's happy with that. And like, there's also, because there's a lot of pressure, especially in online businesses, to grow and like just keep scaling more and more and more and more and more. And for some people, it's like, that might be enough. It all depends on what you want, right? But like a $250,000 business, she could totally do another spot and hire people. Or maybe she's just happy with like with that amount.
Oh, she definitely wants to grow it. She's a boss.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's a boss. Okay. And she, you know what? She never really knew. She didn't try it. Like, you could be a great business person, but
yeah,
you're stuck working for somebody else. And totally, you know what the funny thing is she's spending just as much time growing her business and working on her business as she is you know, she was working at this thing making 30 grand a year, right? Now she's making eight times that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And it's, but now she has something she owns that has value. She's built this business. She could sell that business.
Yeah.
You don't have anything. You're not building anything for yourself when you're working a 9-to-5. I mean, and like you said, it's fine. Somebody wants to work a 9-to-5. Not everybody can be Chiefs. You need Indians, you know, like
we had Close on here when he was talking about that, when he was talking about his side hustle of the
Burma. He's got a 9-to-5 still. Yeah.
He needed it. Like he couldn't be creative with the stress of not having, you know, he needed order. Mm-hmm. He just needs order in his life.
I like that a lot. I like that. And that's again, another point of like, just, we live in a world where you can literally do anything that you want. Like if you want a 9-to-5 for the next 2 years, plus you want a side hustle, awesome. If you want to take that side hustle, turn it into a main hustle, quit your job and then move somewhere else, great. Like that's what I love about that. It's so exciting. It's almost like your world and your life is your canvas. You do whatever you want. And by the way, with your wife, like, I know a lot of people are in a position where they've never had their own business. And really the only thing, like they might say like, oh, you know, they might make up different excuses. A lot of it comes down to fear, like, you know, fear of the unknown, fear of failure. They don't necessarily know if they can do it. But what's so funny is a lot of people who never had a business, never thought to have a business, but then they have a business and they start seeing that first sale come in, like the 100th customer come in, and then, whoa, I made more money this month than I did before. Like they start realizing, like the fear starts going away. Maybe there's some new fears that prop up, but it's like, but they start realizing, whoa, this is like super empowering. And they start loving it because they start seeing it as like a playground. They're working on their business and it's their thing. And like you said, it's perfect. Like Kyle, you totally nailed it. It's an asset that now you're building something, like it has equity. Like someone else, a job is just building someone else's dream. Like anyone who works for me, like I love my team and everything, but you know, when they're working, I pay them. They're just building the business. Like it's my business. Right. And so, you know, when you're working for someone else, it's your time is the only resource that you're never going to get back.
Well, I'm sure you would encourage your people. Like, hey, if you guys wanted to be an entrepreneur, go for it. Fucking work for me.
And I'll help them. Yeah. 100%. 100%. Yeah. Because I just believe in it so much, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I used to work for a guy, almost everybody that worked for my buddy Ran, they all started their own ad agencies. They all started their own ad agencies. They all started freelancing. They all started doing something else. It's kind of hard to scale an advertising business, but like my wife's business, you know, you go out and you find these estheticians. There's a lot of women who want to work in the beauty industry and want to learn from somebody who knows what they're talking about. But I was in Miami a couple of weeks ago and we had lunch with a guy who was on his way to Bali. And I said to him, I was like, oh, how long are you going to be in Bali? He's like, I don't know. I only book one way trips. And I'm like, wow, that's freaking boss move, right? And I was like, so what do you do? He runs an affiliate network that he could plug in anyone's online class,
yeah,
and just push it out to his affiliates, and it's all commission based.
Yeah.
So there's people out there, and I said, oh man, this would be perfect for my wife because she's setting up a Kajabi. She's doing Kajabi and all that. And I don't know if you know Kajabi, but she's setting that up so she can put it out there and maybe get it on Udemy or something like that.
What's she teaching? What's
skincare. So she's teaching skincare professionals how to start their own spa business.
Beautiful. Yeah. Amazing. I was literally just going to ask if she was going to do that or if like, that's brilliant. That's another revenue stream for the same business. It's fantastic.
But you're leveling up. Right. Mm-hmm. So like she realized, hey, I've got this, you know, she went from, okay, I'm making 30 grand in the back of this salon. Now I'm, you know, several years later doing 250 a year. I've got employees, but I'm still in the spa room. I'm still doing the work. So how does she get out of the treatment room? One of those things is let me level up, teach other people what I'm doing. And eventually that business, like what you're talking about, that online teaching is going to potentially surpass.
Oh, no, for sure. I'd be shocked if it didn't. You charge $297 a month to spa owners who want to grow their business or to estheticians who want to start a spa business. And look, the multiples there, she'll surpass $250,000 a year. No problem.
She'll be taking care of me. That'd be nice.
Your sugar mama?
She could be my sugar mama. I could just be watching YouTube at the house and, you know, be nice. My face, getting chunky. I can't do it. I got problems.
He's got to have that drama. He'll find something to get into.
Yeah. Yeah. I got like five businesses, but this is the thing. Like, and I wanted to connect and, you know, obviously he's got a course. I think it's like Oasis or something like that is what his affiliate network's called. But yeah, I mean, the guy's 26 years old and he's living in Bali. He bounces around. He was living in Bogota for a while. He just bounces around, you know, just enjoys his life. He's got this thing. He's got the system set up. He's got about 40 employees, but he created a process. And it's just like, you know, McDonald's isn't necessarily a fast food. Like, you don't buy McDonald's because you want to own a fast food franchise. You want to own a process.
Yeah.
McDonald's created a process, right? And it's, you get your burger at this McDonald's or that McDonald's, the same thing, right?
Yeah, it's proven process. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And you know, for anybody listening who's not like, who's just getting started, I know that it could feel very intimidating and overwhelming. Like we're talking about all these things and these big numbers and bringing it even back to like, regardless, you have to start like day one. Like you have to like, okay, where do I get my first sale? And you know, that's a lot more manageable where it's like, okay, cool. Well, if I can make $100 or $500 this month from my something that like is an idea, like turning an idea into $500 is not hard. And a lot of people just don't know how to do that. You know, one of the interesting things, one of the reasons why I wrote the book in the first place is because a lot of things that are online, especially in the coaching space, is how to go from like six figures to seven figures. So how to go from like $100,000 to $1 million, let's say, per year in revenue. I never saw anything where it's like, how do you start from zero to go to like even $500 or $1,000 a month or, you know, or a full-time income. I never saw anything like that. And, you know, that's why I wrote this book, is basically to put everything together. I wrote the book for me back in 2014 when I was starting, like, what would I have wanted what did I need to know to get going? And basically there's four pillars to it where like the first part of it is getting clear on yourself and like what things that you like, basically extracting, like, how do you want to show up to the business? How are people going to see you? What are you going to call yourself? How are you going to speak? How are you going to like, it's basically going through all of the things you need to know to be fully prepared to go out there and start making money. Mm. And what's really interesting is it's way simpler than a lot of people would think. It's just, you know, again, it comes down to over deliver on value, like just get someone a result. And truthfully, they're going to like that. If they want to do that, like let's just say if it's like needlepoint or something like that, if someone's really into needlepoint, it seems like, okay, how are you going to make money off needlepoint? Or my wife's into tarot cards. And it's like, you know, somebody's into tarot cards. They want to learn how to read tarot cards, or they're all into that stuff, that you teach them how to do that and they'll pay you for that to save them time. Like you either invest money now and save time, or you invest more time and save money, but like you never get time back. So why wouldn't I pay $50 for a course?
Good point. Yes. You know, that's perfect. I love the way you just said that.
Yes. Dropping knowledge from the great white.
Yes. That's a great, dude, that's a great sales pitch. Like yeah. You're not going to get your time back. So why would you choose the other option? You wouldn't. Oh man, that's perfect.
Dude, we get some good sayings on here, but that was
good.
You bumped up to number one.
So talk about like the process you take people through. Like if somebody wanted to, so my wife, for example, where do you've got, an idea, you've got a skill, you've got something that you've identified that you could teach people. What are the steps they need to take? What is our software they should be using? Is like, what would you suggest they do? You said, you know, brand, obviously, like who are you and how do you build your brand?
That's a great question. So especially like I always point back to, so I'm a father of three kids at the time of this writing of the book was, my kids were three and under, basically. It was like, this is like the situation that I'm in. How do I like even like run a business? How do I do things? So as a father of three kids, three and under, basically you have to do things in a way that is like as simple as possible. Okay. And so for example, because of COVID, the world went virtual, like almost instantly. It's actually amazing how quickly that was fully adopted, that you fire up Zoom, which is free. If somebody, now this, I'll skip to like the end of how the thing will be delivered. Cause like the easiest way to get started is just coach someone on like one-on-one. And this is how when I was 17, this is what I did. Like I thought, okay, well I could either be flipping burgers at McDonald's or I could have a guitar in my hands. Like if I want to be a professional guitar player, I could have a guitar in my hands and go out and teach other people how to play. And so there I like grossly undercharged. Like I was charging like $20 a lesson. But I was living at home. I was 17. And I just had like a wad of $20 bills in my pocket that I forgot were there. It's like, whoa, $400 of found money. This is amazing. But it's like, it was either, you know, McDonald's and then smell like burgers coming home and like play a little bit of guitar, or I could have a guitar in my hands all day And that's how I like also like wrote some songs that I would use in bands and like so on and so forth. But it's like, okay, cool. One-on-one is very valuable. And at the beginning, it also is going to be very valuable, not just financially, but also to sharpen your axe, to sharpen your understanding of the topic. So if let's just say, for example, we're talking about poker. Let's say I wanted to teach people how to play poker. Like, let's say I play Texas Hold'em and I'm really into poker. And so there's going to be some people online. What I did to get started, I don't know if the site's still around, but like Craigslist was a big site that's, I put like an ad of like, okay, cool. I'll give like first lesson free, come in. I'll show you how to do this, this, and this. I think I wanted to teach people how to play their favorite song. And so come in for free. So they come in for free. I walk them through my process. And that I just like made up, like, okay, maybe this will work. And you're like a scientist, you experiment, you see what works, what doesn't. But, you know, free is a low barrier to entry. Someone comes in, I spend some time with them. I either vibe with them or I don't. And same for them. You know, they either vibe with me or they don't. I take them through something that's like, cool. You play your favorite riff, let's say. And it's like, great. Did you have a good time? Yeah, totally. And would you like to like do it again? Yeah, for sure. And then you like, okay, sweet. It's going to be $30 for per lesson. And like all of a sudden now, and then maybe like I'll do like four for $100. That would have been like the thing I would have done before. And it's like, perfect. Like four lessons. Great. Here's $100. All of a sudden, whoa, now I'm getting paid. Now I'm a guitar teacher. Like now I'm in the guitar mm-hmm. industry. Now I'm a coach.
Yeah.
And it's like, and the same thing, like now fast forward all these years with Zoom, it's like, you know, you put something out there, even on your Facebook wall, like, you know, you make a post of, you know, I'm putting together a new program on how to teach people how to play poker. And, you know, if you're interested, like say yes below. And like some people say yes, you reach out to them on Messenger and say, cool, like, you know, first lesson's free. You want to meet up on Zoom? It's like, yeah, perfect. Okay. So you set up the Zoom, just like you meet up with any friend. And then if they enjoy it, then the next one, like, cool. Like you come up with a price. And if they say yes, perfect, then that's how much you charge. And then the next one, maybe you charge a little bit more and you find like where there's the ceiling, like the price threshold of what you could charge. Like that's the super simple way to get started. Even like today, you can totally do that. That's like one of the things that I would talk about inside the book. There's so many different things you could do, but that's one of the things. And it's so low tech. Like everyone has Zoom that you can like load that up for free. Post on Facebook, which is free. And the only money that's exchanged is the one from your customer sending it to you. Mm. And you could do that through PayPal. Just send through PayPal. Great.
Yeah. So you're recording, you can record your lesson on Zoom and then just post that recording on Facebook. And that's your first bit of marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. Check out this result. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Check out this result that I just got from Mike. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Gordon Ryan was on Joe Rogan. Gordon Ryan's like the greatest Nogi Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter maybe ever. And he said that by far and away, the most money he gets is from instructionals. He does, the competitions don't pay anything. The sponsors don't really pay that much, but he makes $2 million a year teaching people his jiu-jitsu, well, the jiu-jitsu system that John Danaher set up. So it like, there's a lot of money in that value that you add to somebody's life.
Mm. It's a $350 billion industry. Like the e-learning industry is massive. And think about it. I mean, like, even if someone wanted to learn Brazilian jiu-jitsu from him, well, most likely an enthusiast is also going to want to collect every single course that's out there. So like, who's to say that he pays $200 for that one and $50 for that one and $100 for this one? They're going to collect everything they can. So there's room for everybody.
Oh, dude, it's particularly Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It's like CrossFit guys. Mm-hmm. They'll pay 10 times what something's actually worth.
Oh yeah. It's like a religion. It's like, it's very, yeah, very intense. Yeah. It's great.
Like if the newest gi comes out, whether they're making $18 an hour and it's gi's $400, they're going to get that gi.
Yeah.
It's that kind of like dedication to, I don't know. It's like guys that suck at golf that buy new golf clubs every year.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
It's not the golf clubs. You suck.
Well, you know, I watch a lot of yeah, YouTube guys and I'm a cheap bastard and I probably should just get one of their courses at some point. But, you know, everybody's selling their course. Every one of these YouTube crypto guys or shit, anybody you watch on YouTube, really, they're selling something. Right. Like there's guy Doug DeMuro, big guy. You know, he takes cars. Right. He gets them from these dealerships and he just looks at them and says, hey, is this a good car or a bad car? Right. Now the guy's got his own website selling used cars.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know, and this is a really important point, because a lot of people, especially, like, I'm sure people listening to this right now, if you're listening to this and you're feeling like, who am I to teach this, blah, 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 whatever. Like, who am I to teach Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? Like, the imposter syndrome kicks in.
Oh, I definitely have the imposter syndrome. I shall not do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, people will, like, your customer who's an enthusiast, who's obsessed with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, will buy everything. So, like, there's room for every single person. Like, the world did not need another guitar coach. I'm telling you guys, like, even in 2014, they didn't need another guitar coach. And I came in there with my fresh approach and doing my thing. And because I was persistent, I got customers, and I have a business that feeds my kids, even during the craziest of, like, financial times. You know, it's like, I have this reliable business and asset. And so if you're feeling like an imposter, then there's so much room for, like, and also some people don't want to buy from the big guy. Like, they want to buy from the little guy, because they get, like, this is another way, a little hack is that like, you see a lot of like masterclass. I just saw today.
Oh, I love Wayne, masterclass.
Yeah. Like Wayne Gretzky. There's a new one like that. He's the new master that he is. He's teaching the athletic mind, like, you know, success, which is cool. Maybe I'll check that out. But here's the thing with Wayne Gretzky teaching, like, that's probably a good one. But who knows? Can he teach? I don't know. But, like, also Wayne Gretzky is on a highly produced video that is, like, whatever the length is. If I sign up for, like, if I'm going to teach athletes how to, like, think and be, have, like, you know, a champion's mentality. And let's just say I'm a champion, whatever I do, then I can coach them every single week. Wayne Gretzky can't do that. So, like, they'll probably buy that course, but they'll also buy my coaching program, because I could offer them a more intimate and customized experience. Wayne Gretzky and Masterclass can't do that. So the important thing to understand is that there's room for everything. There's room for everything. And so people will buy Masterclass and they'll buy your coaching program. It just has to make sense for them and what the ideal outcome is that they want.
So for someone who's not Wayne Gretzky, which is everybody, not Wayne Gretzky.
it's everybody. Yeah.
Every hockey player in the world.
Yeah. You don't have the luxury of walking in instant, like, credibility. Like, Wayne Gretzky slaps his face on there and you're like, all right, this is the greatest hockey player the world's ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'm not. So how do you teach these guys to go in to build the credibility they need so that they get the groundswell to bring in the people?
That's a great question. Yeah. So there's going to be some things that you bring to the table that, like, inside my book, I talk about this in chapter one. It's like, that's the credibility and achievements. Like, credibility and achievements, there are some things that you did that are important to your customer, that it doesn't have to be that you scored the most goals ever in, like, any sport. I mean, you don't have to be the great one to be positioned to do that. Some people might be intimidated by that, and they want the guy that's next door who is just a really good hockey player. And also, it's about thinking about it differently. Like, maybe your credibility is that you've studied every single tape, every game of Wayne Gretzky. You've got, like, every goal that he's ever scored. And you've studied it, and you know that he favors the slap shot, let's say, or whatever, like, whatever the thing is. And you've got a whole list of things that you've studied of Wayne Gretzky and all the greatest scorers of all time in hockey. And that's your credibility. Or that, you know, you see what I mean? Like, see how the angle is not about what Wayne Gretzky, achieved what he achieved. It's like, I could have credibility that I've recorded 1,000 videos on YouTube, or I could have credibility that I've studied the greatest players and I found 3 commonalities, and I've got the system called, like, you know, the high score frame, whatever the thing is. Right. But, like, that becomes my credibility. And if you don't have it, like, for example, you know, both of these books so far have sold pretty well. But I wasn't an author before any of that. Like, I had to release the first book and it had to do what it did. But, like, I wrote my first book 5 years into having a business. And so saying that I'm a best-selling author, let's say, I didn't have that credibility at the beginning. I used whatever I had at the beginning. And even sometimes your credibility might be that you just really, really care about helping hockey players. Like, you have a deep passion for hockey because whatever, your family has a history of it. Like, you just have to take all the things you have, you get started, there's going to be someone who your message resonates with, and then all of a sudden, now you've helped this person become the highest scorer in the men's league hockey team, and now that's your credibility. Cool, let's add that to the credibility list, that your client became the highest scorer on the men's league team, and then all of a sudden, now you help this team win the championship, and then, oh, cool, now, like, then you start bragging about those things.
So how really, did you work with like a publisher or anything to get these books, like, or did you self-publish and promote it yourself, or?
Okay. So great question. So the first book, was like a 6 week thing that I did all on my own. So I wrote the book and then like I put together a launch team, I promoted it, and it was like idea to bestseller in 6 weeks. And I had my daughter, Milana was, she was born in 2018. I released the book in 2019, and like, it was a lot of work, but when it came time to write Hobby Boss, I also, my wife was pregnant with, we knew it was twins, and I'm just like, there's no way that I'm doing what I did before.
Wow.
And so what I did was I hired a great company I highly recommend called Scribe. I signed up for their guided author program. And, cause I knew that I needed just like someone to kind of like guide me along the way. They also, it comes with like, they edit the book with you, and you're just working with the team to like put it all together. They design the cover. It's just, it's really good. It's not cheap, but it's like, it's really good. And so for Hobby Boss, just because it was a bigger project and because like I just needed to lean on someone, especially with how my April went leading up to the release, I needed that on there. But it's still self-published. It's just I worked with them to put the whole thing together.
Scribemedia.com, it looks like. Is that what it is?
I believe so. Yeah, Scribe Media, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's really also this another point too, is when you're trying to do something, very often somebody else can help you do it. Like there's going to be someone, and we were talking about saving time, like somebody else can help you do it faster. That's what you're technically helping your customers do, is your customers want to learn how to do something. Like we're talking about hockey, let's say they want to learn how to play hockey or score better, or score more goals. It's like, that's what they're hiring you for, is to help them do it faster. So when you're as a business owner, this is why like I recommend working with coaches or like buying books. You're working off of all the mistakes that they've made and all the successes that they've made and they've achieved. And then you're leveraging that. And so you basically, this is why you say like standing on the shoulders of giants. Like I talk about so many experts inside my book who have helped me along the way. I've read their books or I've worked with them. This is the trick, is that you don't have to do all the stuff yourself. You find resources and you work with coaches and you get programs and all these different things that are going to help to shorten the learning curve for you.
Yes, this helps tremendously.
It helps a lot.
That answered my question, because I'm going to go to Scribe tomorrow, because I'm going to wake up about 4:30, 5 o'clock, go in and knock out some of the actual
tokens. I believe they were the ones who emailed us about you.
Yes,
so,
that's
yeah,
right.
They were the ones who emailed us about you. That, because as soon as I saw the logo, I remembered who the, I was like, oh, that's Scribe. Right. Okay, duh, they emailed us. But that's awesome. And you made a really good point. Like, that's one thing I've learned in business over time, is I have one of those personalities where I want to do everything myself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a type A. You're an alpha.
Yeah, and I want to do it all myself. But it's like, at some point, you've got to relinquish some of those responsibilities to other people.
That's hard. Yeah.
Even when you know, like I know that the only way I'm going to grow my businesses is to give up some of this control.
Well, we've talked about this with TQL. I mean, there's not a more intense person on like driven person, like he's not going to ask you to do what he's not doing himself.
Mm-hmm.
And when Ken really got TQL up off the ground, and that was his goal, in my opinion, his best leadership skill, with as intense as he is and how like type A he is and alpha, was his ability to relinquish control to people, like trust his hiring abilities. Like he trusted himself to hire people to do jobs, and then he trusted himself to allow them to do their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And we flourished. We went from, you know, 30 million in my first year to we're going to break 5 billion in sales this year.
Yeah. He works for one of the largest freight brokers in the country. And amazing. Cincinnati's like huge for logistics. Like we're right in the middle of the country. We're on a major highway. We're river transport. Like we got it all here. Yeah. And,
so I got lucky to be in, I was like the 100th guy hired. So I've been able to watch this mega monster grow, and it all comes down to the culture he created. And it was very much, we're going to hire smart people to do things. We're going to allow the smart people to do smart things. And then, you know, we'll meet up, and if it's not working the way it's supposed to be working, then we'll have a conversation. Otherwise, you know, I trust that you're going to do what you've been hired to do.
Yeah.
And you're going to be honest.
And that's the way to do it. And I trust this guy because he's gone, like he started a business with nothing really. And now he's the richest person in Cincinnati, I think. He's a billionaire probably at this point. Yeah. So, amazing. I mean, and it's just what, how many years? Maybe 10 years, something like that?
No, we're at 20.
20 years? Okay. Yeah, so, okay. That's about
1997 is when it starts. Whatever.
97, okay. Years. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, but you know, you start a business. The business isn't necessarily going to take off right away. Right. I mean, it could take a year, could take two years, could take 3 years.
And what's great is two things. One is with this type of industry, where you're coaching people, like I said, you could literally tonight find somebody that you can start coaching and start making some money. Like I talked about my client who quit his job, but also a really, really great win was one of my other clients who said, you know, he wanted to start teaching guitar. He was one of my guitar students. And he said, I want to teach guitar. Like, hey, do you think maybe in a year I could teach? I go, hey, dude, start teaching now.
Yeah.
And so, cause he didn't like feel confident in it, but I go, start teaching now. And you'll like start learning as you do it. Him getting his first client within the next week was almost as big, like maybe even bigger win, because he didn't necessarily believe that he could even do it. He put it off for a year and he got the money from a client, someone paying him for his knowledge. Just like both of them are really good wins, quitting your job and doing something that you're an expert in. Great. But someone who doesn't even believe that they could do the thing, that they're getting someone to pay them. And now all of a sudden he's a guitar teacher, and that, which is so huge. So that's like the return is really good. So you don't have to wait a year. You can like get that even going in within this week. You know, obviously I lay out all the steps inside my book, but one other important thing is at the beginning, you're going to have to do everything yourself pretty much. And what's so important when you're doing everything yourself is you can't burn out. So you have to be doing something you love. You also have to be doing it efficiently. Like you can't be working like crazy. You have to be doing the right things at the right time. And that's what I lay out in the book, is like, you don't have to polish every little thing. There's got to be like it's got to be quick and dirty, like get the thing out there, see if it even sells. You know, some people will hibernate for months and try to get the perfect course out there. But like, it's better just to get something out there, like record it on your iPhone or something, put it out there. And if anybody buys, great, use the money that you buy or that you get to buy a better camera or something. Like it's going to be in iterations, but it's very important that like you can't really afford employees at first. That's going to be sort of the next sort of step, maybe virtual assistants or employees. At first, you are going to be the one who's doing everything. So you got to make sure that what you're doing is worth it to you, that it's something that you love. This is why the whole concept of the book is turn your passion into profits online, because it is going to be you at the beginning.
We're going to do that, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're starting a side company that's not going to take much effort once the systems are set up, and we're actually buying the system from a gentleman because that's his career, he knows how to do it. So we're just going to buy everything from him and run it this way.
That's awesome.
We're starting with one dump trailer, and we're going to become subject matter experts, or we're going to become influencers for the dump trailer industry, which is basically for like small contractors that they can hitch on the back of a 4x4 or whatever, and then, you know, renovate a house and take it to the dump.
So we're calling it Take a Dump Trailers
LLC.
Love it.
We already got the LLC and everything. It's in Kentucky too. So people will love it down here. They'll be all like,
I love that.
I love it.
I got the TV commercials. It's going to be, this is going
to
be YouTube.
He's already recruited his kids to be in the commercials. You could write, you could write the little riff for us, man. You could just do a little like, Oh, it'd be sweet.
That's so sick.
Make it cheesy 80s rock too.
Like, oh, dude, like a big time hair band.
Yeah, nothing's greater than a like love ballad with Take a Dump in the lyrics.
Dude, Take a Dump is gold. I love that.
Oh man, you never know, dude. It could win like a Grammy for best commercial music or whatever.
This is awesome, man.
Well, Steve, I really appreciate you coming on the show, man. This has been awesome. Is there anything you want to leave people with? Like, I mean, is there a way to like, if I was to create my class or whatever, what's the best way to distribute that? Is there like is there something that you like that you've learned from? Is there things in the book that you talk about?
Yeah, I definitely talk about it in the book. I think, again, starting off with something like one-on-one would be the best bet to go with, just because it's the quickest cash and it'll give you everything you need. And then from there, you could plan a course, which, again, you could like grab your iPhone, just make it as easy as possible. Like grab your iPhone. Nobody cares. Like, okay, so here's just one quick thing that if I had so who's a celebrity? Let's just say like, who's a female celebrity that you like? Just who's the first person that pops in your head?
What's the Wonder Woman lady?
Oh yeah, yeah, she's great. Like she's great.
Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot. If I had Gal Gadot's phone number for you, okay, And she said, I want you to call me. If I had her phone number on some disgusting bar napkin that's covered in barbecue sauce, just like I wiped my mouth with, but I like wrote with like some whatever pen I had. If I had Gal Gadot's phone number on that napkin for you, would you care where that phone number was? Like, would you care that it was on a dirty bar napkin?
Wouldn't give a shit.
Probably not.
I refuse to want that number. I refuse to answer this question. This
is self-incriminating. My wife would want the number.
Yeah, so there you go. So, so for example, let's say your wife. Yeah, so if your wife wants Gal Gadot's number to do these, aesthetic treatments and everything, who cares about what it's on? If you have something that's valuable for someone else, then it doesn't matter if it's an iPhone or if it's like, you know, you want to like be as good as possible, but like, it doesn't matter if it's on an iPhone or where you're shooting the course. Mm. But then what you do is pop the videos on YouTube as unlisted videos. So they're not on there that anyone could find. And then just send your customers an email that has the links to the videos, like just super quick and dirty, that they send over a PayPal for like $20, $50, $500, whatever the course is, costs. And then that's it, and just get it going. And then once you start getting some revenue, then you could start investing in the Kajabi or whatever, like platforms from there. But it's being very creative and resourceful with what you have. It's like bootstrap, you know, you just get all that the person cares about is getting Gal Gadot's number. Like, that's all they care about. It doesn't matter how they get it. They just want that number. So you give them the value, and it doesn't matter necessarily how you even get it to them.
And back to your point, like if they wanted to go find Gal Gadot's number, they were like, oh, that napkin's disgusting. I'm going to go, I'd rather take 500 hours and try to track down people that know her to get the number. Like, here it is right here. It's right here. Just
exactly.
Yeah. Here, I'll give you this dirty napkin and I'm going to charge you for it.
Exactly.
So that's great, Steve, man. I appreciate it. And this, I'm definitely going to get the book.
Yeah, I am too. Cause it answers a lot of questions that I had going in. If I'm able to get this thing done, to be able to, you know, monetize it a little bit.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to learn here. And the book's Hobby Boss. Yeah, I'm guessing it's on Amazon. Is there a website that you can get it directly from that maybe you don't have to pay Amazon for?
Well, right now, pay Amazon. It's all good. Go on Amazon. It's there, but also you could go to hobbybossbook.com and there'll be the link to the book as well as bonus resources, a way to work with me if you want to do it a bit faster. And you check that out, hobbybossbook.com.
Awesome. And how about your music?
My music, right now the music is in a bunch of different places, but I would say, if you go to hobbybossbook.com, then everything that you need is going to, you'll be able to connect with me on everything. So
that's awesome, Steve.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. Yeah. Man. It was fun.
Yeah. This is fun. This is different. And I think people do need to build their awareness around, you know, doing something you love. It can be profitable. And there's a process to it. You've already gone through the process. You've gone through the pain of learning that. And you wrote it down. You put it into a book. You made it easy for people. So why not just read it? And if you want to break away from that 9-to-5 job, now you'll have the skills to do it.
Can you drop your Confucian line one more time about time and money?
You can buy. Yeah. He said essentially you can save money, right? Or you can spend money by shortening the amount of time it's going to take you to learn something, or you can save money and take a whole bunch of time. But what's more valuable? The time, right? So if you're trying to decide between those two things.
Yeah, but he said it better than that.
He said it way better than that. But
we're going to have to go back to the recording on
that. That's the idea.
I would definitely save it. It's like a Canadian Confucius. I like it.
Yeah, I love it.
Dude, he's Italian. He's probably got some Greek floating around there too. So yeah, he probably related to Aristotle or something.
Love it. Awesome, guys. I had a blast. Thanks so much for having me.
All right,
man.
Thanks for having me on here. Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Side Hustle City. Well, you've heard from our guests. Now let's hear from you. Join our community on Facebook, Side Hustle City. It's a group where people share ideas, share their inspirational stories, and motivate each other to be successful and turn their side hustle into their main hustle. We'll see you there, and we'll see you next week on the show. Thank you.